Amen. Stand with me quickly to your feet as we go to Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to be as quick as possible this morning. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. 18 and 19. Isaiah 43. You finally just say amen. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Hallelujah. You shall not know it. I, hallelujah. I will even make roads in the wilderness. Somebody say amen. And now quickly turn back with me to Genesis. Hallelujah. Genesis 41 and I think verse 51. I'm just going to read there. Scripture there, Genesis 41 and verse 51. Hallelujah, it says, Jacob called, hallelujah, the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toils and my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Father, bless your words to our hearts and glorify yourself. Bible said, in you we live, move, and have our being. Let your words not return unto you void, but let it accomplish that which it pleaseth. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. You may be seated in his presence. But before you take your seat, just turn, come on. Before you take your seat, come on, stand back to your feet again. Just touch your neighbor and say, let it go. Come on, just turn to somebody else and say, let it go. God Almighty, help us this morning. Let it go. You may be seated in his presence. That's all you got to do is just let it go. I want to start by asking you a question this morning. If you said to me that your bills needed to be paid, and I paid all your bills, and then I heard you complaining to somebody that your bills are not paid, would I have the right to be upset? I paid all your bills, and then I heard you complaining to somebody about your bills. Would I have the right to be upset? Let me ask you another question. Jesus paid the price for all of your sins, and you're still holding onto it. Does he have the right to be upset? Because he has paid for it, and you're still holding onto it. So now turn to somebody and say, let it go. Just let it go. In order for us to understand the text, we need to know that from Isaiah chapter 40 to 66, it speaks of the glorious future and the restoration of God's people. This part of the book, chapter 46 to chapter 66, is called the Book of Consolation, because Isaiah tells of the glowing terms, not only of the restoration of Judah, but the coming of Jehovah, the servant to be Messiah and to be king. The restoration is assured, for they must return to their own homeland to prepare the way of for the coming Messiah. The servant of Jehovah, who is the Redeemer, is to redeem his people. But in order for God to do that, Israel had to forget about the past. In order for God to do what he wants to do in your life, you've got to forget about the past. You see, sometimes we hold onto the past because we believe there is something there that we think we need. So we hold onto the past. What do you do when your memories drag your past into your here and now, emerging you into the same old pain? The pain you have had in the past, and now your memories are haunting you, and it keeps bringing the past into the here and now. You see, your past can infect your present and influence your future unless you decide to let it go. How many of you know there are more ahead of you than there are behind you? So your past can affect your future. And it's sad that some of us have got our past and life support machine. I'm going to work it this morning. You see, what you have done is that things have happened in your past, and instead of you letting it die, you put it on a life support machine, and you are keeping it alive. But in order for you to get move on, you've got to let it die. Hallelujah to Jesus. Somebody say, let it die. Some things in life has got to die. So the Bible says, forget about the former things. Hallelujah. Thus, the former things are such events as the destruction of Sennacherib and the return from Babylon. And the things of old are events still more ancient, the deliverance from Egypt and the crossing at the Red Sea and the entry into Canaan. But sometimes we can dwell so much on the past, and we can hold on to the good old days, that we are not able to move on. Because how many of you know, sometimes your past success is the greatest problem that you have. Because you hold on to it, because you were successful one time. All you do is that you now live in the past, not realizing that God has better for you. Somebody say amen. You see, if you keep looking back, you will never go forward. Hallelujah to Jesus. It doesn't matter how fast you can run. You've got to look ahead in order for you to go forward. I think it was yesterday I was watching Bolt, who was running the 100 meter, and they were running in rain. And he didn't have the best start. Hallelujah. But he had the best finish. You don't have to have the best start. You just need the best finish. Some of us didn't have the best start in life, but you can have the best finish. Somebody ought to say amen. You've got to let go of the past. You see, let go of what God has forgiven. You see, God has forgiven, but we have not let go. You see, God's only response to confession, to the confession of sin, is to forgive and to forget. How many of you know that God forgives and he forgets? It's not like your brothers and your sisters who said, oh, I forgive you, but I can't forget him. When God forgives, he forgets. You see, if it comes up again, it is you who have brought it up and not God. Every time your sin comes up, it's never God who have brought it up. It's always you. And you keep going back to God to ask God forgiveness about the same sin. And God is saying, which sin? The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your sins and transgression, and God will remember them no more. You see, there are things that will stop you from letting go of difficulties. Number one is your feeling. I don't feel like I'm forgiven. Sometimes you don't feel like going to work, but you still go to work. Sometimes you don't feel like eating, but you still eat. So when you don't feel like you're forgiven, you ought to know that you are forgiven. Can I have a little more on the monitor, Brian? The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not how I feel. It's what I know. I know that I'm forgiven. How do I know that I'm forgiven? Because Jesus paid the price. So we don't walk by feeling. Hallelujah. You see, you don't wait until you feel it. Just accept it. You don't have to wait until you feel it. There are some things that you'll never feel. You just got to accept. Can somebody say amen in the church? You don't have to feel it. You just got to accept it. You're forgiven by God's grace through Jesus Christ. The next thing is a wrong concept of God. How many of you know that a lot of us have the wrong concept of God? You look at God as you do your earthly father. Because God is a father, and your earthly father should be a representation of God. But at times they are not a representation of God. So you looked at God as you do your earthly father. You see, your father will forgive you. But each time that you fail, they will bring it up. Hallelujah to Jesus. But the Father from heaven never brought it up. I said, God will never bring up your sins. As sometimes we make mistakes and our wives keep on bringing it up. I'm not going to hear an amen. Mine is not here this morning, so I can preach. Hallelujah to Jesus. So every time we make mistakes, they keep on bringing it up. And every time the wife make mistakes, the husbands keep on bringing it up. But you've got to let go and let God. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, your heavenly father does not operate like your earthly father. Here is what he says. He said, I am he whom blot out your transgression for my sake. And I remember them no more. So God says, I'm not doing it just for your sake. I'm doing it for my sake. Because when I look at you, I want to see the fullness of me in you. So I'm going to blot out your transgression so that I will not hold it against you. So whenever you come to me, I don't have to bring up your past to see if you deserve a blessing, but I'll bless you in spite of. Because every time you come to me, you come as a new man. The Bible said all things are passed away and all things are become new. I wish somebody would worship the Lord with me. So he will accept it. Hallelujah. He will not hold it against you. You see, God can't bring up your past because he don't remember it. That's why he can't bring it up. That's why God can never bring up your past, because God says your past is past. So you've got to pass to your past. So God says, I don't remember it. The sin that you committed 20 years ago is still asking for forgiveness. And God is now scratching his head. I'm saying, which sin are you talking about? And now you are dragging the memory of God, but God still can't find it. So you take the time to play out the whole record just to drag the memory of God. And God is sitting in heaven saying, why are you bringing up that thing that I know nothing about? Somebody need to let it go. I said, somebody need to let it go. You see, once confess, you will never again be charged for the same sin. The court in heaven has ruled you not guilty. I said, the court in heaven have ruled you not guilty. Jesus dropped the charges. Or somebody worship the name of Jesus. Can I preach this morning? I said, Jesus dropped the charges. The question is asked, is there a limit to the love of God? You see, there is no limit. And if there is, David the adulterer never found it. David the murderer never found it. Paul the persecutor never found it. Peter the liar never found it. Oh, somebody give God some praise. Abraham the liar never found it. Isaac the liar never found it. Jacob the trickster never found it. Have anybody here found a limit to the love of God? His love is limitless. His love is past finding out. I wish somebody would bless the name of Jesus in the house. You can't find it. How many of you know the thief on the cross never found a limit to his love? The thief on the cross did not go to church. The thief on the cross did not pay his tithes and offering. But Jesus said to him, today, you shall be with me in paradise. He didn't know the songs from the hymnal. He didn't know what it was like to be in church. But he could not find the limit. Oh, somebody worship Jesus. To the love of God, there is no limit. When Jesus, hallelujah, cried from the cross, he said, it is finished. God wrote, paid for in full. Your sins, hallelujah, that you have committed. You've got to understand that every sin from the womb to the tomb have been forgiven. Touch your neighbor and say, you have been forgiven from the womb to the tomb. From the day you were born and to the day you die, your sins are forgiven. Jesus said, it is finished. I said, it is finished. The work is done. I said, the work is done. The Bible said in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He puts to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus paid the record. I said, Jesus paid the price. He wiped your record clean. As far as he's concerned, the slate have been wiped clean. The older folks will understand slates. Because slates, I'm told, it was not in my day. Like in Pastor Crawford's day. When they go to school, they'll write on slates. But you could wipe it off. And Jesus wiped off everything. Every sin that you have committed has been wiped off. Somebody said, wiped off. My sins have been wiped off. So I can throw my hands in the air and give God praise, for my sins have been forgiven, and now it's time to move forward. I said it's time to move forward. You've got to let go of what others have done to you. I know some people have hurt you, but you ought to understand that rose comes with thorn, but it still looks good. As a rose comes with thorn, but it still looks pretty. So the rose are beautiful, but if you hold it the wrong way, it will juke you. If you hold it the wrong way, it will hurt you, but it still looks good. Can I preach this morning? Somebody give God some praise. I said, love comes with hurt. No matter how much you love somebody, they'll sometimes hurt you. Not necessarily purposely, but love comes with hurt. You've got to understand that everything comes with something. But you ought to know that you can let go of your past. The past don't dictate your future. You dictate your future. Your enemies does not dictate your future. You dictate your future. Somebody give God some praise in the house. You see, Joseph was sold by his brothers and locked up in a foreign prison for a crime he never committed. You see, he could have been bitter, but he never became bitter. He became better. It's not time to be bitter. It's time to be better. He could have blamed his brothers for his shortcomings, but he said, I refuse to be bitter. Lift your hands and say, I'm going to be better. Somebody don't need to be bitter. You just got to be better. Joseph knew that not his accusers who had the last words, but Joseph had the last words. It's not your enemy that have the last words. It's you who have got the last words. They can bring you down, but you have got the last words. You can say, I rise again. You can shake yourself together and say, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Somebody need to understand. You see, they did not decide his future. He decided his own future. Touch your neighbor and say, your future is in your own hands. I say, your future is in your own hands. I've just finished reading the book, Hallelujah to Jesus, Dreams of My Father by President Obama. And he was born in America and taken to Indonesia. His father left him while he was a young boy. Hallelujah. His pets were monkeys and all different kinds of animals. But instead of him become bitter, he became better. And now he's the president of the United States. If Obama did it, you can do it. God is not partial. He is the same God that rules America. It's the same one that rules over England. Somebody throw your hands in the air and give God some praise. His father came from Kenya, a little village in Kenya. They were poor, hallelujah to Jesus. His father made money and lost all of it. But it did not matter. It did not stop him. You can do it. I like what he said. He said, yes, you can. He said, yes, I can. Somebody shout, yes, I can. I don't care how much your father hurt you. You've got to drop it. You've got to let it go. Touch your neighbor. Say, let it go. Let it go. But you don't understand how daddy had forsaken me. Let it go. The man have left you. Let it go. Don't you realize that he has moved on and you still holding on? He is happily with somebody else, but you still holding the grudge. The man have moved on a long time, and you still holding on. Especially for the women. Can I just work this thing? You see, when a man leaves a woman, he can walk through the door and find a next one. Oh, God, I wish I had some men to help me. But the men aren't helping me. I feel like I'm on my own. A man can walk out of a relationship straight in another relationship while the woman 5 years later, she's still pining over the same man who have left her and have moved on and she's still wizarding away about the same man. By the time that man probably have another 10 women, let him go, man. Let him go. I said, let him go. Let him go. If it didn't help you while he was with you, while you're still holding on to him, let him go. Somebody say, let him go. You are just to let him go. Your marriage failed and your husband left you, but you're still crying and he's still walking down the road hand in hand with another woman. And every time you look at him, you become bitter. Let it go. I say, let it go. Somebody ought to let it go. Or somebody give God some praise. Somebody give God some praise. Let go of the offenses and accept responsibility for your reaction. You've got to accept some responsibility. If the man left you, he left you for a reason. He was with you, and your boy couldn't live good together. And he left you, and you're still pining over him. But every time you had an argument, you were wishing that he would leave. And now he has left. You want him back. But he was never good enough while you have him. And it worked vice versa. Let it go. I said, let it go. Somebody needs to let it go. You see, Joseph saw it from God's perspective. He said, you did not send me here, but God did. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph could have killed his brothers, but he let it go. You see, Joseph moved beyond resentment and ministered to the need of those who hurt him. That's why the Bible said, love your enemies. Somebody needs to love your enemies. Let go of what you have done to others. Everybody have hurt somebody. As a matter of fact, there are times when we hurt people and we don't even know we hurt them. And they are holding onto it, but I didn't know I hurt you. And I am free, praising God. and you're sitting in church wondering, how can I praise God when I have hurt you? But it's quite possible that I don't know that I had hurt you. And I have moved on and you're still holding on. I don't care what you say to me outside of church. When I come in church, I'm going to praise God. I don't care if I had an argument with my wife on the way to church. When I come to church, it's God's time. I say, when I come to church, it's God's time. You are not that important to take my affection from God. You're not important enough to stop my praise. You are to understand, church. You've just got to work it. I say you just got to work it. You see, the wounds, hallelujah, that you have inflicted on others sometimes wear you down. And you keep on living under the guilt. And some people like to have a pity party. I said, some of us church folks like to have a pity party. Woe is me. You don't know what I have been through. You haven't been through anything yet. You need to go somewhere where people have been through something. I had to counsel a couple in South Africa whom the family was at home on Christmas Day and just decided to go for a ride in the car. And a guy was coming on the other side of the road, 100 miles per hour. And the car got out of control. Flip, hallelujah, went over the other side of the road and decapitated the woman's daughter, killing everybody in the car. Have you had that experience? But if she can let it go, hallelujah, you just have a little bit of problem. Some of you say, oh, but I'm living on my own. Praise God, you're living on your own. I have been to South Africa and been to a 3-bedroom house where there are 16 people living in the house. You are to bless God, you can live on your own. 16 people sleeping on the floor. Some of them have AIDS, but they still can praise God. And you don't want to let it go because somebody have hurt you. You are to let it go and let God. Somebody bless the name of Jesus. You see, Paul said, I have violently persecuted the church. I did my best to destroy it, but he let it go. You got to let go of your failure. Your marriage failed. Hallelujah, Jesus. You ought to move on. Guess what? You're not the only one. And you ain't going to be the last one. So you got to move on. Touch your neighbor and say, move on. You fail at your job. You fail at your business, move on. You see, we fail more frequently by what we don't do than by what we do. So most times, we fail at things that we don't do than by what we do. Hallelujah. But you got to let it go. Here's what the Bible says. It says, see, I'm doing a new thing. But how many of you know that a new thing will not work unless you drop the old thing? And that's why God had to tell Israel, forget about the past. Let the past be the past. What you've got to do is see that I'm doing a new thing. Hallelujah. He said, I will do a new thing that has not occurred. Something unheard of and so wonderful that it shall far surpass all that I have done in the past. He said, in the past, you drink water from the rock. In the future, you drink water from the well of salvation. God says, what I'm doing is new. You see, in the past, your forgiveness came through the priest. But in the future, your forgiveness comes through Jesus. And that's why the Bible says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. You see, in the past, you had to sacrifice a lamb. In the future, Jesus is a sacrificial lamb. Somebody missed an opportunity to give God some praise. You ought to let go of the past. You see, in the past, you were under the law. In the future, you're under grace. In the past, you were a slave. In the future, you're a son and a daughter working for an inheritance. Or somebody to bless the name of Jesus. You ought to learn how to let it go. I say you ought to learn how to what? Let it go. The Bible said, and it shall spring forth. It shall spring up as a grass does from the earth. It shall bud forth like the opening leaves and flowers, a beautiful figure denoting the manner in which the events of the divine providence of God shall come to pass. God said, I'm going to do something new. Something you have never seen. Touch your neighbor and say, position yourself to be blessed. How many of you know you can't be blessed unless you're in the right position? You've got to position yourself for a blessing. Because if God bless some of us now, we will never be able to come back to church because we have not positioned ourselves. But God is saying you've got to position yourself to be blessed. The question is, can you stand to be blessed? The Bible says, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. He said, for God, he said, has made me to forget all my tithes and all my father's household. Manasseh means one who forgets. If God allowed Joseph to forget, Joseph was placed in a pit. He was placed in a prison. But from the prison to the palace, you ought to understand, church, that the same God that did it for Joseph is the same God who can do it for you. But you got to let it go. How many of you know Joseph could not move forward unless he let it go? You can't achieve anything great unless you are willing to forget about the past. If you're going to achieve anything, you've got to forget about the past. The Bible said in Genesis 41 and 52, and the name of the second he called Ephraim. Hallelujah. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Ephraim means double fruitfulness. You've got to understand God is about to give you double for your trouble. Every trouble that you have ever had, God is about to give you double for it. But you've got to let it go. It means one whom bear fruit. And God said, even I will make way in the wilderness. Just as Israel in the wilderness between the Red Sea and Canaan was guided and supplied with water by Yahweh. But God says, this new thing that I'm going to do a new deliverance. A new deliverance shall be, hallelujah, attended to with such manifestation and the power of God and his love eclipsing the old. He said, I will open a way, not merely in the sea, but in the wilderness of the whole world. So I'm not just going to do it in Israel, but I'm going to do it in Jamaica. I'm going to do it in Kenya. I'm going to do it in Ghana. I'm going to do it in Mozambique. I'm going to do it all over the world. Somebody lift your hands and give God some praise. He said, and not merely one river shall gush out of the rock, but many which shall refresh not just the body formerly, but the soul that is thirsty shall be refreshed. God said in the past, it was the body that we refresh. But in the future, it's the soul that's going to be refreshed. Because he said, with joy shall he draw water out of the well of salvation. The only way to achieve your goal in life is to forget about the past and to move on. God says, the only way for you to make it, you've got to let it go. But Pastor, I was abused. You think you're the first one? I know people who are abused by the father and abused by the uncle, but they still had to move on. My mama never loved me. Move on. Love yourself. Daddy never take care of me. You're old enough. You have grown up. Take care of yourself. But nobody gave me anything. Nobody gave me anything either. I had to work for everything. Sometimes we keep feeding the past. Whatever you feed is what's going to grow. Hallelujah. It is said that everybody has two dogs inside of them. And it's whichever dog that you feed. If you feed the bulldog will grow. If you feed the chihuahua will grow. Everybody has a good part. And everybody has a bad part. Doesn't matter how righteous your neighbor look. You step on the toe hard enough, you'll see the other side of them. So it's whatever you feed that's going to grow. And God says, you've got to let it go. But they upset me in church. And? What's your problem? Story was told of a man as I close who was sitting outside the church. He was a black man invited to a white church, but they didn't realize he was black. When he turned up there, they locked the door. The man was sitting outside crying. The Lord appeared unto him and said, what is wrong with you? He said, they won't let me in the church. God said, Jesus said, what's the problem? They have not let me in either. You're crying about little things. When God says, let it go. Bow your heads. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. I want you to understand that when I was asked to speak this morning, I had a teaching that I had prepared. I was in Germany for about 5-6 hours. And I did this beautiful teaching. And it was easy for me because it was done. So I wanted to come this morning and do this teaching. But in the week, God just keeps saying, let it go. Let it go. And the message that I had prepared, I had to change it and prepare something totally new. Because God wanted somebody this morning to let it go. While the worship leaders come, if you're here this morning quickly, and you're such a person, and God is saying to you, let it go. Whether you're saved or unsaved, I want you to walk to this altar quickly. God said, behold, I do a new thing. You notice that I will do a new thing in you. God is saying, let it go. Doesn't matter who have hurt you.